Finish Well Radio, where changing the world starts with changing the home, with your host, Meredith Curtis.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finish Well Radio. We have some very special guests tonight who will actually be speaking this weekend at our Finish Well 2015 conference. They're going to give you a little taste of their talks coming up this weekend as they share timeless truths that can impact your life. Because I know, like all of you, we want to finish well. You want your family to finish well, and we are going to give you some help in doing that. So before I get started, I want you to meet my friends, and so they're going to introduce themselves to you.
Hi, my name is Laura Nolet. I'm married. I've got four kids. My kids have actually, most of them finished high school, and I've got one more going, and I'm one of the speakers at Finish Well, and I'm Meredith's trusty sidekick, so if you ever see Meredith, you'll probably see me lurking in the background somewhere.
Hi, I'm Juliana Curtis. I am Meredith's second oldest daughter, and I serve in my church. I'm a deaconess, and I sing on the worship team, and I work with information systems at Verizon, and that's what I do. And at Finish Well, I'm going to be speaking about going to college and living debt-free, and if you would ever like to see on our Finish Well website, I've written a couple of blogs about betrayal and how to deal with that, so you're welcome to go check them out.
Hi, my name is Aisha Palm. I will also be speaking at Finish Well. I am leading a class with my friend Jenny Rose, and we're teaching about beauty secrets, and that will be exciting. I'm very excited to teach this year or just go to a conference because it always impacts people's lives, and I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to do this year. I also live with the Curtises, and I've been here for 7 years, so I will be part of the pack as well. So I'm excited to see you guys at the conference, and I hope you guys enjoy this talk today.
Hello, my name is Mike Jeffords, and I am married to the most beautiful woman God ever created, Sarah. We have together two boys. One of them is just over two. The newest addition is 5 weeks old today. I will also be speaking at Finish Well. I'm totally excited about it. All the sessions are going to be great. I'm looking forward to how people get equipped. I'll be speaking with a gentleman by the name of Tim Miller about communicating between parents and teens. And this is going to be an awesome conference, and look forward to hopefully seeing you there.
Thank you all so much. Tonight we are talking about families finishing well. You know, sometimes families don't start out so well. They make mistakes, but all of us, with God's grace, can finish well. And I really want you to realize that as we're talking about things that you can do and will be helpful, that we are righteous by the grace of Jesus Christ. And some of you listening here, you need to hear that. And also as a reminder that God pours out enough grace that we can do everything He calls us to do. So don't be afraid. God is with you, He is for you, and He will help you. And if your family has gotten off track, or maybe your family has never been on track, it is not too late to see change in their life. Mike, you mentioned that you were speaking about communicating to your parents with Tim, but you were not homeschooled, and yet here you are, you're speaking at a homeschool conference. You want to homeschool your own children. What made you choose this path of homeschooling for your own family?
Well, Meredith, you know, education is so important. And for me in particular, no one better to educate my children than my wife and I. And I must concede that my wife is the smartest person I know. And so what better person to be at home teaching our kids than her? But I also find that I don't want anyone else raising my children but my wife and I. And to have them in our home in a comfortable setting, being able to teach them all the things that we want to know, but not just teach them those great things about God's creation and created order, but also training them from within our home, there was just no other option for me. And I know it's going to be have its challenges as we go throughout, but nothing more rewarding than seeing and being a part of my children growing up and becoming amazing men of God and impacting this world. And the ones to do it best are their parents and no one else. And so I am so excited. I look forward to having them, you know, start their homeschooling. Micah will start his homeschooling in August of this year. and it's going to be a wonderful journey as we go through this thing, but it's going to produce some great rewards in Jesus' name, you know?
Amen. And for those of you who are listening and you don't know Mike Jeffords, he is a great dad, and he is just so loving and so firm when he needs to be and fun when he gets to be, and it's really fun to watch him be a dad. You're talking about communicating with parents, with Tim. Do you see this as a problem in the church today? And if you do, why do you think it's a problem? And that's communicating, parents and children communicating.
I absolutely do see this as a problem, even in the church today. It's a problem because life is busy, and it can be hard to just even take the time required to communicate effectively. We're always thinking about the next thing on our to-do list, and I find that we lose this ability just to spend time with one another, children with their parents and parents with their children, just taking time to talk to one another, get to know them. And we have a lot that we're doing. We're doing things that God has called us to do. We're doing things that life requires. And it just seems so easy for us to push these really important relationships kind of to the back burner. But they're far too critical to not somehow make time to just talk and communicate and share life, even with our parents or our children.
Wow, that is so true. Mike, what is one principle that teens can use to communicate better with their parents?
I would say one thing I would definitely share as a principle is for teens especially to realize it's not all about you. It's not all about you. Your parents really do have your best at heart. And when they're talking to you about whatever it is, any time that it seems like they're coming against what you believe or what you feel, they are not trying to harm you. They are trying to help you. And as teens, we need to let that happen. But I'll be honest, that can be a problem for the parents as well, is realizing it's not all about you. And that, you know, there are times in which there is something that your child just needs to hear or needs to know from you. And it's super important that we recognize that we are about others. It's not all about us. And if we can get that figured out, communicating will be so much easier.
Thank you, Mike. And remember, if you're listening and you think that your family is not off to a good start in the area of communication, you can still finish well. And just that one little thing that Mike said about taking time and really listening and really valuing one another can go a long way into getting you on the right track. So thanks so much, Mike. Juliana, I'm shifting gears here, but, you know, I think communication and finances, those are probably two of the top things, especially for spouses, that there's conflict over and there's struggle with and frustration with. So why do finances trip families up?
Well, I think there's a couple of the biggest reasons that finances trip families up is in America, especially the American church, we'll possibly listen to God about how to spend 10% of our income, and then we completely listen to the world on how to spend the other 90. And it's such an important principle to realize that the Word of God speaks to every single area of our life, especially finances. And parents need to train their kids with that. And I was very blessed to have parents, thank you, Mom, that raised me to honor the Lord with my finances, not just with the 10%, but with the other 90% as well. And parents need to agree with each other on that, and their children need to see that they're in unity on that. And I think parents need to give their kids a bigger vision than just the American dream. Nowhere in the Bible does it say the American dream, and God has so much more for us to do with our finances and areas of giving and missions and how we can serve one another and how amazing it is to worship God with our money. And so I think sometimes we just have this tiny little pinhole of a vision of how God wants us to spend our money, and we need to make it bigger. And I think another really big issue in our culture is that there is no such thing as denied gratification anymore. If you want to get angry, then you give full vent to your anger. If you want to do anything, you just go and do it. If you want to buy anything, you go and buy it. You don't need to wait. You don't need to resist going to fast food. You don't need to resist going to the convenience store. You don't need to resist buying the new clothes. You just go and buy it. And one of the biggest things, one of the biggest reasons why people can't stick to a budget is because they aren't able to deny their flesh. They're not able to deny their self. And that is such a big thing that the Bible talks about. And we need to, as Christians, be obedient to that with our money also.
Deanna, I feel like we should stop the talk right now and go off in another direction on delayed gratification and how that makes everything in life turn out so much better. You're so right, and I won't go there because we don't have enough time, but you brought up a really good point. I've always believed God will give it to you if he can get it through you, and you can't outgive God and all those things. But living on a budget seems to be a dream for most people. Because the truth is, if you want to be able to do things for God, there's bills you have to pay. There's things that have to be taken care of. You really have to have a budget, not a budget that's an idealistic budget, but a realistic budget that will work for your family. So do you have any tips to help families stay on their budget?
Well, one way to stay on your budget, here's a little plug for another talk that's going to be at Finish Well that my friend Leah Brooks is doing, and she is going to be talking about how to eat healthy cheaply. And I know groceries are a big thing, so go and listen to her talk. That's one tip. Another tip is we in America just have this mindset that if something is available to us, then we need it. If cable is available, we need it. If cell phones are available, we need it. And I think it's really important to remember that we are so wealthy in America. And if you make $40,000 a year or more, then you are part of the 1% wealthiest in the entire world. And we don't think about that. Instead, we think about everything we don't have. And so I think it's really important to prioritize things. You know, is the kingdom of God what we're going to be seeking first? Or is cable and fast food and smartphones what we're going to be seeking first? And so I think it goes back to a lot of denying self and realizing that we don't need to eat steak at every meal. Maybe it's okay to eat for a month the way that they do in India with rice and beans. I mean, it doesn't have to be drastic like that, but I just think we need to broaden our horizons instead of just being so Americanized in our taste and in our spending habits and realizing that there's more out there and there's more that God has for us and we can live simply and that simple life, if it's centered on Christ, can be so much more fulfilling than making $100,000 a year and spending it however you want. So I think that would be one of the biggest tips. And another tip is just to be realistic with your budget. And to realize that if you are going to spend money on entertainment, then put it into your budget. If you are going to go out to eat, then it needs to be in your budget. And so cut corners where you can, but don't make it so strict that you can never meet it, because then you'll just fail automatically and never go back to it. So you have to have a realistic budget. But honestly, I think that the biggest thing with making a budget is to pray and fast about it and put it before the Lord and ask God how he wants you to spend your money and how he wants you to divide things. And those are some of the biggest steps I would say for that.
Well, you talked about fast food. You talked about like buying the newest cell phone, and you talked about something else that was expendable. What was that?
Cable.
And I just thought that is so true, because I have friends of cable who say, I have 180 channels and there's nothing that I want to watch. And I think, oh, wow. So a lot of these things, they just trick us into wasting our time also, or to pouring bad stuff into our bodies. Don't you think that a lot of finances and being wise with finances has to do with your perspective on God and on money, that he does want to bless us, that he does want to give us good things, but maybe he sees more clearly what's good and what's not good? Can you touch on that a little?
I definitely think so. I'm going through a Bible study course, and one of the things that it's been talking about recently is how temptation, most of the time the devil is tempting us with, don't trust God, meet your own needs in your own way. You don't need to trust God to meet your needs in the way that he wants to. So
So instead of waiting for God to meet our needs, and no good thing does he withhold from him who is blameless, and we are blameless because of Jesus, so no good thing is he going to withhold from us, but instead of waiting for God, and instead of praying for a need that might arise, and seeing God work a miracle in our life, instead we immediately put something on the credit card, or we immediately go out and buy it, and we say, oh, well, I need to fill this need as quickly as I can, because I don't trust God that he can do it in his own way. And so I think that one of the biggest things with finances is just learning to trust God. And it's easy to say, oh, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But you can't do that unless you trust God. So if you do struggle with finances, and you do struggle with sticking to a budget, and you do struggle with overspending on things, the first thing I would say to you is repent for spending money unwisely, and then just fast and pray and ask God to help you to trust him and to help you to honor him in every single penny that goes through your fingers.
That is a big challenge. You know, when I was in college, I had a friend who was really challenged in the area of finances. And so she went on a budget and she got her finances together. And she also lost 10 pounds. And she wasn't trying to lose weight, but as she became more disciplined in one area, she became more disciplined in others. So it's kind of neat. We are going to take a commercial break right now. And then when we get back, we're going to talk about beauty. And we're also going to talk about SATs. How can the Christian family finish well in those areas? So, see you in a minute.
In all my years of attending Finish Well conferences, I found that it's more than just homeschooling. It's learning how to live.
Finish Well 2015, July 10th and 11th. Visit finishwellcon.com for more information. You've been listening to Finish Well Radio on the Ultimate Radio Network. Now back to your host, Meredith Curtis.
Hi, and welcome back. We are talking about how families can finish well, and we've talked about communication, and we've talked about finances, and now we're going to talk about beauty. And Aisha, women long to be beautiful. They do. And moms and daughters. And I know there's moms and daughters listening right now. And they want to honor the Lord. And they want to, at the same time, look good. And how can a woman, young or old, be beautiful from the inside out?
Well, I think that's a good question. And I honestly think that is a God-given desire that God made us to want to feel beautiful, because he looks at us and he longs for us and he thinks we're beautiful. He looks upon us and he says, what I created, my creation is good. And you and I are part of that creation. And so, of course, as our perfect creator created us to long to be beautiful, we have that desire. And I think sometimes we definitely get distracted by things of the world and wanting to fill our hearts, like Juliana said, with just things that don't satisfy, although they seem that they do. And so we can tend to appear a certain way. Maybe we need to dress a certain way or buy certain clothing because that will make us beautiful on the outside. Or we have to wear a certain makeup or sometimes pile it on. I know I struggle with that, so that I could hide what I really look like, so that I could appear like those ladies on magazines or whatever. But I think the focus is on the inside out. It begins with the inside. So God changes our hearts, and as we fill ourselves with the Lord and the desire to be more like Christ and be more surrendered to him, he begins to fill us with himself, and it's overflowing on the outside. It reminds me of something my mom always said. A woman can be beautiful on the outside. She can be gorgeous. But if her inside, if her attitude and her behavior is ugly, it is going to shine on the outside in a very poor way. And people aren't going to want to have anything to do with her because it's just ugly. And I think that's the same way. We can't strive for beauty on the outside. But if our heart's desire isn't first to please God, then we're fooling ourselves, because the ugliness is just all over the place. But if our heart's desire is to please God first, to fill ourselves with Him and to submit to His will, then we can't help but to shine and be beautiful for the Lord, because people will see not us, but Christ in us.
Very good. And that is so true, isn't it? My grandmother said it a little differently. She was another generation, but she used to say, beauty is as beauty does. And her point was that what makes a woman beautiful is when she's clothed in good deeds. And we definitely see that. How can we focus on outward beauty, Aisha? Things like losing weight, getting in shape, maybe wearing makeup, buying clothes that are fashionably modest. How can we focus on those things without them becoming an idol? How do we keep everything in balance?
That's a good question as well. I know I definitely tend to struggle with extremes. So I've gone both sides of the spectrum, I think, on that one, and just learning how to be balanced in that. It reminds me of something a dear friend once said. She said, it would be like if Christ is our husband, Creator God is our husband, then going out, whether it's to the store, to the park, to church, wherever it is that we're going out to, maybe even school, our focus should be on our husband and being shining, so the focus is on Him, like an accessory to Him, or just, so we're not, the focus isn't on us, but rather, this is my husband, look at him, like he's awesome. And so the struggle there was propriety, and wearing the right thing at the right place, I think, is part of that. But also, as you fill yourself with the Lord and you pray about certain things, should I buy this outfit? Do I need it? We start fulfilling ourselves less with the things of the world. We no longer need and desire the things that might become idols, like our appearance, our clothing, the makeup we wear, or what we're wearing and how we're wearing it. The focus then becomes, okay, Lord, is this what I need in my life? And if it's not, even if it's something we desire, it's that self-gratification will dissipate and it will disappear. And the Lord will help us to have self-control, like Juliana was talking about. And we can give those things up. And He'll teach us. We'll learn how to honor Him, even in, you know, we want to look beautiful. God wants us to be beautiful. But then there is a balance. How do I do this in a way that honors Him? And so I think a good tip for that is just pray. Fill yourself with the Lord. And like Meredith mentioned, you want to be able to be beautiful by your good deeds that honor Him. Not because you're saying, hey, look at me, but because you're saying, hey, look at Christ. This is my Jesus, my God, who died on the cross for me.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Aisha. Laura, we are going to move from, we talked about communication, we talked about finances and then beauty, and now we're talking about the beast, the SAT beast. And we, you know, honestly, as homeschool moms, we can feel overwhelmed by that. As homeschool teenagers, we can feel overwhelmed by the SAT beast. And so I want to start with just, I know you're going to, I'm only going to ask you a couple questions about SATs, because that would be a whole show. It would be a whole series. But you're speaking on SATs at Finish Well, and I'm wondering, what if a teen who's listening right now, or his mother or her mother or her, has taken the SATs and they've scored a bit low on math? Can they bring up their scores? And if so, how can they do that?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Meredith. The simple answer is yes, they can bring up their scores. And yes, I can help you with some ideas about how to do that. The simplest answer is they need to do their math homework, and they can never stop doing math. While they're in their senior year or junior year, if they've taken it a little early, students need to continue doing math. And the SAT covered Algebra 1, Algebra 2, Geometry, and statistics, probability, those kinds of problems too. Usually doesn't touch on trigonometry, and you don't have to worry about calculus at all, so that's really great news. But the kids need to know their vocabulary. That's another thing that can really trip them up on their SATs and their scores. They learn how to do the problems, but they don't remember what anything is called. So when they have a word problem that says to find the mean, they don't know what the mean is, other than thinking the teacher is mean for making them find the mean. But these are the kinds of things that go through their mind in that moment. And said, because they need to learn their math vocabulary and understand what the different concepts are in those classes. But if they keep doing their math every day, well, you know, every school day, then they'll keep it fresh, they'll keep it sharp. It sounds silly to have to say this, but if they haven't already done so, they really need to memorize their multiplication tables, because it's a whole lot faster to know that 7 times 5 is 35 than to type in 7 times 5 equals on a calculator and have it tell you it's 35. So there are little things like that. Your brain actually is much faster than any calculator, so if you know these little things on your own, you're going to do really well. It's nice about the SAT is there are some basic shapes and formulas that are provided at the beginning of the test, but really they shouldn't rely on that, because that slows them way down. And when you're slower, you answer fewer questions and you get lower scores. So if they just have, you know, all their important things memorized that they've been told over the years in their classes, this is important, you should memorize it, then they should memorize it. And then go into their test knowing these things, and then they can sit down with a little more confidence. It's a rough thing to take the SAT. It's a lot of stress. I had a student tell me that they woke up on the morning of the SAT and they saw their mom's shopping list and it said sandwich bags, and they said, how are you going to make bags out of sandwiches? And then they realized, oh, right, sandwich bags. I'm going to so fail my SAT. I mean, that was just the thinking. The kids wake up those mornings, they're already stressed. So if they just keep doing their homework and they keep practicing and they're well-versed in what they need to do in their regular math class, then they're going to be able to do well on the SAT. But vocabulary and practice, practice, practice.
Great advice. Now, you mentioned nervousness, and I know that all of my kids are a little nervous in new situations, except for Juliana. She's always been very bold, but even Juliana was nervous about her SATs. And you had a great idea a couple months ago. We actually did it together. Why don't you share with everyone what we did to get our kids ready for the SATs and in a kind of more of a group setting?
Okay. People who make the SAT test is called College Board. You can find them on the web, collegeboard.org.com, one of those. I always forget, but I think either one gets you to the same place. They sell practice tests. They are actually tests that were used for SATs in previous years, so you know you're getting the actual test. And so we got a bunch of copies of those practice tests, and we told all of our friends, we're going to do a practice SAT. Anybody who's never taken the SAT and they're going to be taking it, we even had one student that was only 14 came out and take this test because his mom said he takes a long time to kind of warm up to things, so he came and took it. Of course, he didn't know any of the math, so those sections he finished really quick, but but he got an idea about it. But all the kids, we had parents in every room, and we timed them just like the SAT, and we read them the instructions just like the SAT, and they took it, and then we sent it home with their parents for their parents to grade it themselves. And, you know, we as parents all discussed how they would grade the essay, which is, it's all in that practice test book that you can get from College Board, the instructions on how to grade it and everything. So all of our kids kind of had an idea about what to expect when they went in there the first time, and it made it a little less intimidating for the first-timers, because a bunch of them went a month later and actually took it the first time. And I think they all felt a little better about it because it wasn't a total unknown for them, and so they kind of had a feel for what to expect. And so when it went basically the way it had gone for us, then they're like, okay, I can do this, and they did.
Thank you so much. And so we have talked about different ways that your homeschooling family can finish well. We just want to extend right now a personal invitation from each one of us to come and join us at Finish Well Conference. If you can't make it this year, we're getting ready for our 2015 conference next weekend. But, you know, you come another year, but we look forward to getting to meet you in person.
Well, I hope you'll come out. This is Laura, and I'm going to be doing the session on preparing for the SAT with my friend Sarah Joy Curtis. And I'm also doing a session on preparing transcripts for the parents. So, you know, if you're coming out this year, and in future years, we'll probably be offering that same session. But I'm especially excited because this year my son has launched a business called Common Sense Longboards, and he is custom designing longboards, which for those of us who don't know what that is, it's a really big skateboard. And so they're gorgeous, and he's even donated one to Finish Well. So there's going to be a raffle on Saturday for people who've registered for the conference. So if you're going to come out and you've got kids of any age, they're probably going to have fun with one of these boards. So they should enter the raffle and try to win it.
Hey, it's Juliana. So I talked a little bit about denied gratification and budgets and stuff, and I think one of the best ways that families can teach their kids to not be self-focused with their finances is to either support missionaries or support poor children around the world. And I'm really excited that Gospel for Asia is going to be one of our vendors at Finish Well this year, and they have opportunities for both of those things. So if you want to come and you want to support a Native missionary for $30 a month, or you want to support a child through their Bridge of Hope program for $35 a month, then you should come and visit their table. And they're a really awesome organization. I support both of those things through them, and it's been really awesome to use my money in that way. And I hope that you come and you visit Gospel for Asia and all of our other vendors.
Hi, this is Aisha again. I'm going to speak about beauty. I am actually really excited this year for Zach Nolet, my friend's talk on how to search the web with a heart of purity. And I know that he's done that talk before, and I hope he'll do it again, but it's just open to everyone. And I think that's definitely something that's in God's heart, purity. And in this age, day and age, where we have internet and it's everywhere on our phones, our tablets, wherever it is you can find it, the library, how can we honor the Lord even when no one's looking?
Hey, everyone, it's Mike again. Listen, I really, really hope you guys come to Finish Well. Anyone that hasn't had a chance to register yet, please do that this week. Please let's see you for this Friday and Saturday, a great way to spend your time. Come out on Friday afternoon. Unplug for a little bit for a couple hours of airsoft. It's going to be a blast. Dads and sons, and I've even had some daughters out there having a great time. Moms, you can join the Moms Heart to Heart. There are some really great sessions, some really great kids sessions that we have planned, but do not miss out on this opportunity. Don't wait another moment. Definitely come out. Come and meet us in person. We'd love to talk with you guys. We'd love to encourage you. And most importantly, we'd love to equip you to finish this race well.
Mike, thank you so much. Aisha, Juliana, Laura, it's been such a blessing to have you here. I know for me, I am so looking forward to all the great vendors and shopping. And I still have things I need to get for the next school year, and there's going to be a lot of great vendors. And so I'm looking forward to that. And if you haven't gotten everything you need for the fall, please make sure you get in the vendor hall and shop. And I know this is going to sound more superficial, but Stephen Brooks is cooking lunch, and he is the best cook in the world. And so I'm really excited to eat lunch with Steve, I guess. Eat lunch with Steve. And all in all, the biggest thing is that the Lord Jesus Christ loves his people, his church, and we want to homeschool for him and with his grace. And so our heart as we have this conference is that we would be able to minister to you, to be blessed by you, to encourage you and have you encourage us so that we can grow closer to the Lord and we can run the race well so that each one of our families can truly finish well. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for listening to Finish Well Radio with Meredith Curtis and the Finish Well team. Please listen in every first Monday of each month at 7 p.m. Eastern Time here at the Ultimate Radio Network.